CEO of Astro Manufacturing Corporation. This is my last will and testament. The recording equipment will automatically mark this statement with the date and time. That's right, Pancho said. Don't interrupt, kid. Where was I? Oh, right. Last will and testament. I hereby bequeath all my stock in Astro Corporation to my friend and loyal employee, Priscilla Lane. Together, Pancho was so shocked she didn't even bristle at the use of her proper name.
To me? Are you loco?
Don't interrupt, Dan snapped. All my Astro stock to Priscilla Lane, together with all my personal belongings and possessions. He had to stop and take a few breaths. Then, and I nominate Priscilla Lane to take my place on the board of directors of Astro Corporation. He thought about it for a few moments, then nodded, satisfied. Okay, that's it. You can turn off the recorder now. What did you do that for? How come you... I'm not going to make it, kid, Dan said, tiredly. The radiation's getting to me. I want you to take my place on the board of directors and fight that some bitch Humphreys with every gram of strength you've got.
Me? I'm just a hick engineer. A rocket jock, for crying out loud.
You're my heir, Pancho. Like a daughter. I don't have any family to leave anything to, and besides, you know Astro as well as anyone does. Not the board of directors. Dan laughed weakly. You'll roll right over them, kid. The board needs some fresh, young blood. You'll have to fight Humphreys, of course. He'll want to be made chairman once I'm gone. In a quieter voice, Pancho asked, You're talking like you're at death's door. I think I am. My gums are bleeding. I feel woozy. My ears are ringing. I just hope I don't get the shits.
The storm's almost over, she said.
How am I? Once we get back into the ship, we can zip back to Selene in a couple of days. Maybe faster. I can goose her up to maybe half a G. And how will you break her? Impact? Dive right into Alphonse's? Pancho fell silent for several moments. Dan was glad she couldn't see him. The way his insides felt, his hands would probably be shaking like a palsied old man's if they weren't buried in the asteroid's rubble.
They can cure radiation sickness back at Selene, Pancho said at last. Use nanomachines.
If I make it back to Selene.
Only about 7 hours to go, she said. Radiation's leveling off.
Not as deep as a well, Dan quoted, or as wide as a church door, but it's enough. It'll do.
You going delirious?
No. That's just Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet.
Oh. Yeah, right.
I'm gonna take a nap, kid. I feel pretty tired.
Good idea, I guess.
Wake me when it's over.
Chris Cardenas was surprised at how her hands trembled as she worked. Programming nanomachines to disassemble carbon-based molecules was a snap, a no-brainer. Just a slight modification to the procedure they used every day to build diamond mechanisms out of bins of soot. It wasn't the difficulty of the work. As she sat at the lab bench, peering intently at the desktop screen that displayed what the atomic force microscope was showing, she thought about the consequences. Gobblers. I'm deliberately creating a batch of gobblers. If they get loose... Calm down, she scolded herself. Go through this logically, step by step. Okay. They'll break in and find me dead. Lying on the floor. I'll leave a note on the computer screen. Put it in big red letters so they can't miss it. I'm only making a microsample of gobblers, and I'm disabling their assembly capabilities. They can't reproduce. They'll be contained inside my body. But what if they get outside your body? They'll be taking you apart from the inside. What's to stop them from getting out? Nothing, she told herself. So I'll turn on the UV overheads before I swallow the bugs. That will destroy them once they get outside my body. A knock on the door startled her. Dr. Cardenas, we know you're in there. Open up, please. She wiped the display from the AFM and began hurriedly typing her suicide note. Warning. I have ingested a microgram of nanomachine disassemblers. They are programmed to take apart carbon-based molecules. Do not allow them to go beyond the confines of this laboratory. Disinfect the lab with high-intensity ultraviolet light before moving my body or touching anything in this room. Notify... Someone banged on the door, hard. Chris! It's Doug Stavanger! You don't have to do this. Come on out! She scanned the red block letters on the display screen and erased the final word. No need to notify Doug. He's already here. Chris, it's not your fault. Stavanger's voice was muffled by the heavy steel door, but she heard the urgency in it well enough. Come out and talk this over with me. She got off the spindly-legged stool and went to the sampling site at the end of the bench. A gleaming cup of lunar aluminum sat there, half full of water that contained the nanomachines that were going to kill her. Chris, Stavanger called. You've spent your life developing nanotechnology. Don't throw it all away. Don't give them another reason to say nanomachines are killers. She picked up the cup and held it in both hands, thinking, I can't live with this guilt. I've committed murder. I've killed 4 people. Stavanger was shouting through the locked door. That's what they'll say! You know that! They'll say that nanomachines killed the foremost researcher in the field. They'll use it to show how dangerous nanomachines are, how right they've been all along to ban them. She looked from the cup to the closed, locked door. It was Humphrey's idea, but I did it, willingly. He pulled my strings and I danced like a blind, obedient little puppet. Don't throw your life away, Chris, Stavanger pleaded. You'll be destroying everything you've worked for. You'll be giving them the excuse they need to come back here and force us to obey their laws. Humphreys, she thought. Once I'm dead, he'll be able to blame the whole thing on me. His lawyers will talk his way out of it. He'll walk away from this. From 4 murders. 5, counting me. Cardenas carried the cup back to the sampling site and sealed its aluminum top to its rim. Once the top clicked into place, she placed the cup in the disposal oven and closed its door. The inner walls of the oven fluoresced as its ultraviolet lamps bathed the cup. Why should I die for Martin Humphreys? She asked herself. Someone's got to stand up to him. Someone's got to tell the truth about this, no matter what it costs. I've got to face him, face all of them. Come on, Chris, open the door. They're watching me through the security camera, Cardenas knew. She went back to the computer and erased her message. One of the staff people can destroy the gobblers tomorrow, she told herself. They're safe enough in the oven for now. Slowly she walked to the door, then stopped the keypad on the wall next to it. Doug? She called. I'm right here, Chris. Open the door, please. This is silly, she said, feeling stupid. But I don't remember the sequence I used to reset the lock. A mumble of voices on the other side of the door. Then Stavanger, sounding relieved, replied, Okay, Chris. Security's bringing an analyzer down anyway. We'll have it open in a few minutes. Doug, she said again. Yes? Thanks. De nada, he answered. By the time they got the door unlocked, Cardenas was surprised at how calm she felt. She had looked death in the face and discovered that she was strong enough to go on living. The passageway outside was crammed with men and women in security coveralls, half a dozen of her own nanotech people, several medics in white, and Doug Stavanger. Are you all right? Stavanger asked worriedly. Cardenas felt herself smile a little. I am now, she said.
Death.
Come on, boss, wake up! Pancho's voice, muffled, distant. Dan's eyes were gummy, bleary. It took an effort to open them. He tried to wipe them, but his hands were still buried in the loose rubble of the asteroid. Dan, wake up! He heard the urgency in her voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
His stomach.